Christ. Amen. And the Lord does love us, and thank God for, love is a great thing. And we know that love comes from God, and God's the author of it. And so thank God for that. All right, this morning I'm going to be preaching on that thought. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And of course, if you know your Bible, you know this is called the love chapter in the Bible. And so we're gonna read a chapter today of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, and thank God that for the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you find 1 Corinthians 13, say amen. I'll know you're there. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse, there's only 13 verses in it, but I want to read those 13 verses this morning because this is a great chapter. Speaking on the thought of charity and the thought of love. Verse number one says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity is vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. What I want to preach on this morning is a simple little thought, the worth of love. The worth of love. Thank God for love this morning. Thank God for charity. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Father, I do pray you bless the word this morning. And God, we are thankful for the love of God. The love of God that allowed you and made you to come down from heaven. That love of God that drove you to Calvary. That love of God that made you and Lord, and passioned you, Father, to die, Lord, for the human race and to give your life's blood so that we could go to heaven. Father, thank you for that love this morning. And as we preach on this thought, the worth of love, may, Lord, at this time of Valentine's, may we all understand, Lord, the importance of love and what it's really all about. Bless the word, we pray, and Father, we'll give you the praise and the thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as we preach on this thought, the worth of love, the worth of love. Now, we could, when it comes to love, we understand that. The word charity here used in chapter number 13. Now, we understand the word love is used throughout the Bible. But the word charity is used specifically in this chapter. So, well, why didn't they use the word love? Because the word charity is a more pure meaning of the word love. We throw that word love around all the time. We use it very loosely. But the word charity is the purest form of love that there is. And the word charity is used throughout the Bible, but specifically this entire chapter. And if the and God, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, inspired the word charity be used here and not the word love. The word of love could have been used, but God chose the word charity because, again, the word charity is the purest form of love that there is. And when it comes to love, we understand that love, it should be pure. The Bible says that here. It should be preeminent. It should be a passionate love. It should be powerful and persuasive and protective. It should be all those things. And because at the end of the day, what do you got? At the end of the day, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. That's why he said in verse 13, now abide of faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now it's been said of love. And there's been a lot of songs written about love. Remember that song the Beatles wrote years ago, All You Need Is Love? Well, I'll tell you what, if you got love, you got everything. What is everyone in the world looking for? Everyone in this world is looking for love. And that's why Valentine's Day is a special day even around the world. People are, they're looking for a love. They're looking for a genuine love, a pure love, a passionate love, and all these things. And again, and thank God that love is all those things. It's been said that love is oil to lubricate. Amen. We believe that. Life to rejuvenate. You know, nothing can rejuvenate like love. I was thinking about the prodigal son and the love that his father had for him. Wasn't that not the greatest love in the world? A love that overlooked all the impurities, overlooked all the failings, overlooked everything that was wrong in the prodigal's life. When he came walking up the road that day, he was very unlovable. He stunk. He'd been in the pig's pen. His clothes were ragged. And this is, my goodness. And yet when the father saw him, the Bible says that he had compassion on him and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. I tell you, that is love that rejuvenates. Amen. And we know what he did for him. He gave him a robe. He gave him a ring. Thank God. He rewarded him. He rejoiced with him. He restored him. That's what love does. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of transgressions. Thank God that it does. And love can make you love someone who is undeserving of that love. Amen. And that's a fact. And so it's life to rejuvenate. It's affection to captivate. You know, it's amazing when you love someone, that love can hold them together. Hold them together. And I was thinking about Ruth and Naomi in the Bible. What held Ruth and Naomi together? It was the love that Ruth had for Naomi. It was Ruth's love. What holds us together today? It's the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And God loves me a whole lot more than I love Him. That's a fact. He does. And it's His love that holds it all together. And thank God that it is. You know, many times in a relationship, it's the love of one that more that one has that holds a relationship together. And hey, that's fine. You know, when it comes to those kind of things, it's power to consecrate. It's a spring to animate, tonic to stimulate. We can say a lot about that because love does get us moving sometimes, does it not? And grace to elevate. Thank God. We sing that song, Love Lifted Me. Love Lifted Me. Thank God for what the love of God does in our life. Now, I've got a few simple little things here this morning when it comes to the worth of love. And first thing I want to look at is the source of love. The source of love. We know where love comes from. It comes from God our Savior, does it not? Let's take our Bible and look at 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4 this morning. And it was fitting that John would write about love because he was the disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus had a special relationship with the disciples, but he had a more special relationship with John. John was the one who went all the way. John was the one there at the cross. John was the one who took Mary, Jesus' mother, into his home. John was the one who went all the way. So it was fitting that John could write about love. And he did in his epistle and in 1 John. So 1 John chapter number 4 this morning, if you'll notice verse number 7 and verse number 8, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for what? God is love. Isn't that a great statement? God is love. The source of love is God. It's God is the one who puts love in our hearts. It's God is the one who's the author of it. And thank God for that. Look at verse 16 and notice what it says there. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Thank God for love this morning. So the source of love, where does it come from? It came down from heaven. Isn't that a simple thing? It came down from heaven. What's the greatest thing in the world? What's the best thing in the world? It's love. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of returning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, of his creatures. You know why we know love? We only know love because God made it. God made love. Christ came down from heaven to a sin-cursed world to save sinners. And thank God, that's love. What's John 3:16 say? For God so what? Loved the world. Amen. It was God's love, the source of love, and it came down from heaven. But knowing from heaven, from the heart of the Father. Think about a father's love this morning. I mean, a father should have love in his heart. And First John chapter 3, look what it says. Behold, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth it not, because it knew him not. Now think about that. What father doesn't love a son? I mean, really, there's a bond, there's a love there. In Genesis 1, when God made Adam and Eve, Adam was called the son of God, and no doubt God loved him. But it was Adam's sin that drove him out of the garden. Can you imagine the day when God had to show Adam and Eve the door? That's hard. It's hard to show your children the door. But you know what? Sometimes you got to show them the door. Because you love them. Because you love them, sometimes you got to show them the door. Because you love them, you cannot let them continue in the things they're doing. Because you love them, you have to discipline them in their life. That was probably the hardest thing God ever had to do, was take Adam and Eve out of the garden that He prepared for them, that He had made for them, that was perfect for them, where they had fellowship, and one day He took them to the door and said, don't you ever come back. That had to be hard. But you know, on the way out the door, I doubt He said, don't you ever come back. I think as He showed them the door and as they went out of the garden, no doubt He said to them, one day I'll bring you back. He said, I'm showing you the door, Adam and Eve, but one day I'll bring you back. One day I'll bring you back in. One day I'll bring you back into fellowship. One day you'll have entrance in here again. He said, you really believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Because what we lost in Adam, we got back in Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the second Adam. And what we lost in Adam, we gained and brought back when by the love of Jesus Christ. And thank God for Christ's love. Thank God for the spiritual birth that we have in Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, therefore, John 3:3, Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I'm saying, you must be born again. Thank God for the love of God that gives us a spiritual birth. But thank God for the special adoption that we have in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says this, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the servants of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You think about that for a minute. That special relationship that we have because of Jesus Christ, that brought us back to God, that made us children of God. You know, it's hard to love someone else's children, is it not? But it's easy to love your own. But see, God brought us back into the family. You understand, we're Gentiles here this morning. We were not part of the family of God. We were not of the chosen seed of the house of Israel. But because of God's love, He brought us in, and thank God that He did. The source of love this morning, the source of love. Not only the source of love, but the force of love. You say, what is the force of love? It's genuineness and sanctity. Now, when it comes to love, there's a sanctity in love. And thank God there is. That's why the Bible gives us a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 telling us about the pureness of God's love. If you look in 1 John chapter 3, you should be there. Look at verse number 2. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, there's a purity in love. Now, we live in a day when love's supposed to be pure, not perverted. We live in a perverted day, do we not? And we know that's true. Love is supposed to be holy, not sensual. Divine, and not devilish. Boy, but we live in a funny day. And, you know, and the force of love is what produces the devotion and loyalty and set bounds. There's bounds in love. There's boundaries in love. Now, we live in a day when no one wants any boundaries. And they're saying, well, we've removed all the boundaries when it comes to love. I mean, the Sodomites would have you think that. And they said, well, there's no boundaries in love. Let me tell you, if there's no boundaries in love, then we are a perverted society. Remember, I was preaching last week talking about all the perversion that's taking place and men marrying animals and women marrying animals and marrying your sister and marrying your daughters and all the crazy stuff that's taking place in America. You say, why? Because they're removing the bounds. That's been a heated controversy this last week with a federal judge and the people of Alabama, and the judge is saying, look, I like what the one guy said, we're just not going to issue any marriage license. How do you like that? And we won't issue any marriage license. I said, it'll be a cold day in hell before I marry two men or marry two women or marry a man and his daughter or a man and his son and or a man and an animal. I'm telling you, it ain't never going to happen in this church. Because there's some boundaries when it comes to love. There needs to be some boundaries. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. There's some bounds in marriage. There's some bounds when it comes to love here. Now, there's no bounds in lust. We know that's true. And this stupid book and stupid movie, 50 Shades of Grey. And best-selling book, millions of women have purchased it across America, and now millions are flocking to the theaters to see this movie that is basically a movie that about inordinate love, love that's unseemly, a movie that's about a woman being abused in a sex dungeon, and people calling that romantic. God help us. Amen. That's not love. Amen. That's lust. Amen. That's sensuality. Amen. And that right there, I mean, you say, you know, what is love? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? Look there for a minute. Keep your finger in 1 John, but look in 1 Corinthians 13. What's it say concerning love? What's it say in verse number 4? It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easy broke, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. You think about it for a minute, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether it be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You say, what is charity? It's gentle, it's kind, it's loving. Boy, this stuff people pass off as love today is not any of those things. It's not self-willed. It's not self-gratifying. Love is pleasing the person you love and them pleasing you. God help us. There's got to be some boundaries. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Provide security and sincerity. God help us. 1 John chapter number 4, look there in verse number 17. It says, herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Hey, there's some boundaries when it comes to love and marriage. There's some boundaries when it comes to worship. People say, well, there's no boundaries in worship. Worship any way you want. That's not what the Bible says. If you're going to worship God, you've got to worship Him what? In spirit and truth. Amen. There's some boundaries when it comes to worship. Because people like to worship God in funny ways. What about people who practice human sacrifice? What about people who burn their babies in the fire? What about people who do all this kind of crazy stuff in their worship? That's not worship. There's boundaries in worship. There's boundaries. When it comes to society, there's boundaries in the home. But you know what the problem is? We've eliminated all the boundaries. And they say, nothing you do now can be wrong. Matthew 24:12 says, because the love of many, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Man, every time you turn on the TV, you see something horrific. We turned on TV last night a few minutes while we were watching the news, and they have this crazy people getting killed, how they go through their trials and death and all this stuff. And And I said, are you kidding me? I said, this is the Valentine's Day, and they're showing this on the TV about how this pervert was acting out the movie in the book, 50 Shades of Grey, and what he did with his girlfriend, and what he did with his girlfriend's best friend, and how he ended up killing her. And then people came over, they got nervous about it, called some people over to the house. People came over and saw that the girl was dead, naked, laying on the floor. And they said, we just didn't want to get involved. And they went home. They just went home. They didn't call the police. They didn't call the authorities. They just went home. They said, we don't want to get involved. And I think to myself, God help us, that there's no boundaries in America no more. And of course, they got caught, and then they put them on trial, and so on and so forth. And of course, it was the man that murdered the girl, but the other girl was there, and she watched it, and didn't do nothing about it, and helped him get rid of the body because of what they called love. Let me tell you something. That's not love. It's sad that we live in a day when people don't know what love is. Love is not beating someone with a whip. Love is not, hey, tying someone up and slapping them around. That's not love in any stretch, form, shape, or anything in the imagination. That's not love. Boy, we live in a funny day, do we not? Loving God is not doing all these things the crazy people do in the day in which we live. See, loving God is a genuine thing, a holy thing, a thing with sanctity and divine, and that's divine, pure, holy, and divine. See, we've kind of gone the wrong way, have we not? And see, there's no boundaries. There's no boundaries. Think about the source of love, which is God our Savior, the force of love, which is genuineness and sanctity. But let me give you the last one this morning, and that is the course of love. The course of love, which is giving and sacrificial. If you look there in 1 John, we're in 1 John still. 1 John chapter 4. Notice what it says in verse 9 and 10. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son of the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. You know, I'm glad that God loved me when I didn't love Him. And He did. God loved me when I didn't love Him. God loved me from the foundation of the world. God loved me before I was ever conceived in the womb. That is the love of God. In Hebrews chapter number 2, if you'll look there, keep your finger in John, but Hebrews chapter number 2, think about this for a minute. What the Bible talks about the love of God that drove Him to Calvary and that made Him do the things that it did. Hebrews 2 and verse number 9, it said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the giving of Jesus Christ, the Christ on the cross demonstrated Jesus Christ's love, the proof of His love. A man said this, it's not what you do, but what it costs you. That proves your love. Boy, there's some truth to that. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know what we're supposed to do for the ones you love? You sacrifice for your spouse. You sacrifice for your family. You sacrifice for your country. You sacrifice for your church. You sacrifice for your friends. You sacrifice for your neighbors. You sacrifice for God. You see, what doesn't cost you very much is not very important to you. C.T. Studd said this. He said, if Christ is God and He died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for Him. Early in the 1800s, the pioneers were living. You understand, pioneers across America. They lived with the Indians in hostile territory, and it was a dangerous place across America. It was a deadly place. And they would build stockades around the settlements. And what they do, they'd have an iron, they'd have a high pole in the settlement, and they would have a iron pot, and they would fill it with flammable liquids. And if they were attacked, what they would do is someone would climb the pole and light the signal so that they could receive help. And this particular settlement got attacked, and they were under attack. The Indians were attacking the fort, and so on and so forth. And one young man bravely climbed the pole. But by the time he reached the top, his body was filled with arrows, but he was able to light. He was able to light the torch so that they could get reinforcements and get help from the neighboring settlements. And on the young man's tombstone, they simply put this: he saved others, but he could not save himself. See, that's, you talk about love. You say, why did he climb the pole? For his mother, for his father, for his brothers and sisters, for everyone in the settlement. God help me, if I had to climb a pole, we'd all have to die. I'm serious. I leaned over on something. I said, if someone hit me in the stomach, it'd just be at the end of the world. I got a hernia, I'd have trouble climbing a pole nowadays. But I'll tell you, thank God that young man was willing to give his life for his family. That's a pure love. That's a sacrificial love. Boy, that's the kind of love that makes the world go round. That's the kind of love that put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's the kind of love that we're talking about this morning. That the worth of love, the importance of love. The course of love, what a great thing. The men who raised the flag on Iwo Jima, they died raising that flag. They had a movie about Francis Scott Key, and we all understand the Star Spangled Banner. And though the rocket's red glare, we know the Star Spangled Banner. You know the story of that? I mean, the British Empire, they trained all of their guns upon the fort and upon the flag, and they said, if we can only bring the flag down. And they put all their firepower upon the flag to bring the flag down. But when the dust settled in the morning, the flag was still there, right? Why was the flag there? Because hundreds of men had given their life to hold up the flag. Because of love of God and love of country. I wonder if we ever had independence again, if there'd be someone to hold up the flag. I wonder if there'd be someone to hold up the flag on the battlefield. I wonder if there'd be someone that would climb a pole in the day in which we live. You see, in the day in which we live, everyone gets their cameras out and take pictures of it while someone gets beat to death. That's the day in which we live. The day in which we leave, people walk in and see someone brutally murdered and walk out the door and say, I don't want to get involved. That's the day in which we live. See, we live in a cold day, do we not? And it's because the love of God has been forsaken. You see, it's hard to love when you have no love on the inside. But when you have love on the inside, it's easy to share that love with someone else. You can get involved when there's love on the inside. Oh, the course of love this morning, it drives us. It drives us. We demonstrate the proof of love. The proof of love. The product of love. The product of love. I'll give a couple stories here, and these are great stories. They're true stories. There was an Eastern princess, and her son was sick and of a fever and dying, and all they could do was stand by and watch. She wasn't allowed to touch her baby, lest she die also. Many of these contagious diseases in the past, when one person got it, everyone died. And her child looked at her and cried and said these few little words. His little son cried and said, kiss me, Mama, kiss me, Mama. But she couldn't. Because if she kissed him, she too, her life would be in danger. And he stretched out his arms and said, kiss me, Mama, kiss me, Mama. It was the last request of a dying son. And at that moment, her heart broke. And she embraced her son and hugged him and kissed him, his feverish face. And there he died in her arms. Just a few days later, she also died of the same fever. You say, what'd she do? She gave her life to comfort her dying child. See, that's the product of love. That's what love does. Love puts yourself in that person's place. Love drives you to that very thing. King Alfonso of Spain, when the Muslims had run over the Middle East during the 6th and 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th century, and they were threatening to take Spain. The capital was besieged and King Alfonso's son was captured. And what they did was they built gallows and forced the prince to stand under a sign that read, Alfonso, either the city or your son. You know, it's kind of like this is nothing new what ISIS is doing, right? These are tactics that have been used all through down history. When they're sawing people's heads off and they're doing, burning people alive and doing all these things, this is not something that's new. This is something they've been doing for centuries. And King Alfonso of Spain, this was his reply. He said, let my son die that my people may live. Now, let me tell you, that had been the hardest thing a man would ever do. But the king did it. Let my son die that my people may live. You understand this morning, that's exactly what God the Father did for us when He sacrificed His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. It was Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Who loves you this morning more than Jesus Christ? Nobody. That's right. Nobody loves you more than Jesus Christ this morning. Because He was willing to give His Son in your place. Now, it'd be one thing to give your son for someone. That was good. But think about who God gave His Son for. Someone that was bad. It's one thing to give your son for someone who loves you, but what about giving your son for someone who hates you? You ever read over there in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8? The Bible says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. But God commend His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for the good and the beautiful. And those that were holy, no, He died for the worst of sinners. Amen. That's what made His gift of love so great. Oh, thank God this morning for the worth of love. Thank God for what God did for us. The source and the force and the course. Take our Bible one more time and our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank God for God's love this morning. Thank God that these words are pinned down in the Bible. Thank God that He said, and now abide of faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these this morning is charity. The greatest of these is charity. Do you know the love of God? Are you demonstrating the love of God? Are you living in the love of God this morning? Oh, the worth of love. Valentine's Day has come and it's gone. But what about the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day? We got a whole generation that they just want to be loved. They don't know. We got a generation that doesn't know a father's love and a mother's love. We got a generation that doesn't know the love of God. God help us. Thank God that there's love this morning. And thank God there's hope. Let's stand for prayer.